I am going to initially start this, and then we're going to just delve right in because we have quite a few people on today. And I understand that some people are willing to talk and some people would rather be in the shadows and be very quiet, and we respect either way. But if you do want to join in and talk and join in our conversation, please feel free to do that. On behalf of the Association of Gastrointestinal Motility Disorders, also known as AGMD, I'd like to welcome you all here today for our Gastroparesis Telephone Internet Community Support Group meeting. For those who don't know me, let me introduce myself. My name is Mary Angela, last name Garcia DiTucci. I'm a longtime patient who suffers from multiple digestive motility disorders, including chronic intestinal pseudoobstruction, I have malabsorption, malnutrition, gastroparesis. My esophagus is affected with dysplasia and diffuse esophageal spasm and reflux. Bladder is affected. I have a host of other diseases that are going on here too. So I understand from my own experiences and all of the difficulties as far as the diagnosis and some that are still trying to be diagnosed, what so many patients go through as well as their families. In 1991, I was extremely privileged to be able to start this organization, which is a nonprofit international organization, by support, education, awareness, advocacy, and it promotes further research in the specialized, and I highlight specialized, area of gastroenterology. I'd like to introduce our co-facilitator here. Her name is Laura. Laura, can you just introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everybody. This is Laura Schmidt. I am a patient of gastroparesis since 2001. I have kind of been there, done that with the disease. I've been working with the AGMD for many years as a volunteer, and I am always here if you need to talk at any time. Let Mary Angela know. I'm happy to call you. It's convenient for you. We can talk about anything you need. Doesn't matter if it's gastroparesis or not.
Yeah, and that's the point. Thank you, Laura.
Sure.
The point is that we not only discuss these, but we also talk about everything that all the teams are getting.
Hello?
I'm just trying to figure out where that somebody static on their line and background noise.
I hear you clear now.
This is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Well, and I'm so glad you came.
Oh, thank you.
There's quite a few people on this program today. But in just continuing on, let me just say that you are welcome all the time, and that's the importance of this organization, to not only talk about medical issues, but also to talk about all that these encompasses, from mourning the loss of food, mourning the loss of the ability to work, your career, your purpose in life, the social part, relationships, family, every aspect, even the unpredictable nature of it all. Because it's an umbrella for so many things, this is the forum who welcomes you and know that we understand and that we're here to help and hold each other up and share each other's knowledge and talk about these things. During this program, I encourage you to share your questions, concerns, tips, experiences as they repeat living with gastroparesis. We want to make sure that everyone has a chance to join in the conversation who would like to. So be mindful of the time as you're speaking. And we also have to be mindful of everyone's privacy. So during this program, we ask that you do not give your contact information out or ask for somebody else's. If you want to communicate with somebody who is on this program, you just have to contact this organization. We will reach out to that person and then see if they're willing to communicate with you as well. And lastly, just to make it a little bit easier on everybody, if when you talk, you can just give your first name, only your first name, so that we can identify the voice with the person talking. So each time if you do that, it's going to make it a lot easier. With gastroparesis, we have so many people here, as I had indicated. I'm just going to, I know that everybody came to this program for different reasons. And if anybody would like to just jump in and talk about why they're here or any questions, that great. If not, I'm going to toss out the question, what do you find is the most difficult part about living with gastroparesis? So on that note, I open it up. Anybody like to start it?
This is Loretta. The thing that bothers me is the eating. Not enjoying the food after it. You've enjoyed it, but it doesn't seem to digest correctly, and then you're in agony. And then the bloating. And then I went through, all the blood work went off, and I became very, very anemic because I wasn't absorbing it to nourish the body. And I'm trying to have certain food, and I just seem to be gaining weight. It's just not eating good food, protein, but it doesn't seem to help. And they put me on iron, but once they got that up, they took me off. And then he's going to keep checking it, but he said it wasn't absorbing all the food nutrients. Does anybody else have the bloating? I have lupus, but I also have, after it's sort of digested, the particles of food go into I have a maldeformed bowel system. It's twisted together, the intestines and the bowels are twisted together, so I have bacterial overgrowth, which gives me, my stomach gets enlarged. And I get comments, you should go on a diet. I just want to eat, and I don't understand where the weight is. It from not getting in the body right, not distributing right? I never had an issue with that until now. Yes.
This is Karen. I have issues like that. After I turned 40, I gained 20 pounds and could not figure out why, because I wasn't eating that much.
Right.
And nobody can explain the weight gain, but I think it's just whatever your body's going through. And I bloat after every meal. I really bloat also. But the weight, I don't know. I weigh more now than I've ever weighed. And I don't eat much. And I don't know whether some of it could be inactivity or what. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, honestly, if you're not digesting your food correctly and your bowels are not working, I've gone 2 weeks before I have a bowel movement, you're not feeling well. And I don't feel like, honestly, doing a lot, but I try, But I'm just wondering, because at first when I was diagnosed, I was losing 3 pounds a week easily because I was just didn't eat. You couldn't eat. But then they put me on a medication, and now I can eat. But it's not. I don't understand how this. Does it get worse? What is this disease? This gastroparesis? Will it get progressively worse? Is it different with everyone?
Loretta, you bring up some outstanding points. So thank you for your sharing what you are going through, as well as posing some really. As far as the weight is concerned, I can tell you from my experience with some doctors at Temple that even though they specialize in gastroparesis, that it still is not known. They still do not know why a lot of them gain weight. And that's why I always say to patients, as well as those learning about gastroparesis, or people you want them to learn about gastroparesis, that you cannot tell or qualify or measure the suffering or what a person is going through based on how you look necessarily. And by that, the scale, especially when you have something like gastroparesis, you can have that belly that swells up. For women, it could look like, and in my case, you're delivering twins. You can get
right.
that with pseudo obstruction as well. But that bloating and that belly swelling is all part of it. Your gut just is not working efficiently. And that weight issue, so many people are saying, oh my gosh, I was losing weight and now I've gained weight, or I look average weight but I have this big belly. In fact, on our website, this whole photo show, and we always welcome new photos to put on, even our new one, which will be coming out. But it's just a photo show of all swollen bellies, as well as those who've had a lot of surgery, as well as digestive motility. And each picture, if you would just freeze it, is totally amazing that your gut, you can have a flat stomach and then all of a sudden grow like yeast. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So while we're on this, let me just say, to clarify, because a lot of people don't know this, that not all patients with gastroparesis experience pain. Not all patients experience vomiting. And actually, not all patients experience nausea all the time. Not all patients have that swollen belly to that degree. So it can be quite individual in nature, which is why it's important that you go to a gastroenterologist who specializes in digestive motility. And to add to that, one whose subspecialty is gastroparesis. And the other part that's very difficult is that part of what to eat, how much to eat, and it's so individual, because you can eat something one day and you can tolerate it fairly well, and then the next time you eat that same thing, there you are with all of your classic symptoms. So it's extremely difficult. We're getting feedback. Some tips are to graze throughout the day, eat any meal, and avoid fats, avoid foods that are very gassy. But it sounds like there's a lot of malabsorption going there too, in which case they may refer you to a dietitian who specializes in gastroparesis and malabsorption, because you need those nutrients in order for your body efficiently.
Anybody else? Andrew, this is George from California. I just wanted to add, you know, they are doing a lot of research now with the microflora, the bacteria, in different parts of the gastrointestinal tract, and they're coming up with a lot of different theories of why people gain weight and how the bacteria are related to all kinds of different diseases that we experience, especially autoimmune diseases, even maybe heart disease and brain disease. So there's a lot of research going on with the bacterial flora within the intestinal tract, and why some people, there's a theory going on, they may have certain type of bacteria that contributes to their weight. And also with the bloating, how the bacteria produce the gas. And sometimes doctors will put the patients on antibiotics for a period of time to get rid of certain types of bacteria. And the other thing they sometimes do is put you on an elemental diet to really give you specialized type of diet. Really, it's not the most pleasant diet, but that may help. So there are other alternatives. Diet is really very important to consider, and also about this bacterial overgrowth. Because of the stuff not moving through, the wrong bacteria kind of overgrow within this. And I know one gastroenterologist from Cedar Sinai definitely mentioned that avoid any kind of diet product, diet sodas, diet gums, you know, sugar-free gums. Those are really important to avoid those kinds of products because they make the condition worse. So that's something to consider if you're, you know, especially if you're overweight and you're trying to lose weight by taking diet drinks, the worst thing. So that's something to consider.
Yeah, that's very good information. I've never had any Diet Cokes in my life or any Coke. I don't like them, and I avoid them. I'm trying to eat. I am on, it's funny he said that, he's very good. I am on antibiotic every month. He gives me it for a week. I have to be on it for bacterial overgrowth. But he said with all my other issues with lupus and things like that, it just makes things worse. He likes it when I gain weight. He doesn't like it. He's the only doctor that likes it when I gain weight. You know, the last time I saw him, he looked at my stomach. He said, oh, you know, it's so bloated. You have to be careful. I went, you know, if you saw what I ate, I don't understand. I'm just trying to do protein and fresh vegetables and fruits, and I don't understand it. I really don't.
Do you get that with solids as well as liquid?
I can't have any, like, any yogurt. Oh, it's like cement. I went to a specialist and a dietitian thing, and just all she wanted to do was liquid diet. And it was too thick. She was using creams. I don't use creams in soups and things like heavy. And I can't get that through. Liquids, like, just because it's fluids, I can't get that through as well. You know,
a lot of people do juicing, so they get that juicer machine, and then they make their own, although we do have some at this organization recipes, but they do use that to help, and they don't drink it all in one sitting. Well, some don't, but they sip it throughout the day.
Throughout the day, yeah, maybe. I get to the point where you just stop eating. You know, it's not even pleasurable.
Yeah.
What other poisons do you have left? You know?
It's extremely difficult. When you are affected by digestive motility, it's not only learning to accept that this has happened to you and these are the symptoms you're living with, but then it's accepting or mourning that loss. And I keep on going back to that because I remember in my own life, that's how it was. It's like, no, this can't be happening to me. I'm going to fight this. It took me 5 years to have a diagnosis, but my first diagnosis was chronic idiopathic intestinal tube obstruction. And then it progressed to include gastroparesis, entire systems. So as a result of all of that, I can distinctly, they're like in my mind, a video of just these moments in my life where I would say, okay, what is going on? And then there was that fear. Oh my God, this is my life. What's going to happen? How is this going to affect me? Then it went to, okay, you have a diagnosis. This is great, excellent. But what are they going to do for you? We don't know. We don't know anything about it. Of course, this was quite a few years ago. We're talking over 36 years ago. There's a lot more information out there now, and there's certainly more research, especially on gastroparesis. But
and with the gastroparesis, too, it's important that you really get a good workup, because just saying gastroparesis, you know, is not – it's kind of like it's not really the etiology. You don't know the underlying cause of it. So 50% of the time, they might be able to tell you what it is, but you have to do more diagnostic studies to see if something's possibly treatable, you know, whether it's due to the muscles in the stomach, due to the nerves going to the stomach, or some autoimmune phenomena that might the underlying cause of it. Half the time they really can't figure it out, and we're stuck with that. But just to have a diagnosis, a label of gastroparesis, you have to push the doctors to say, well, why? What is the underlying cause? Have they done enough tests to see if they've, you know, done as much as they can to figure out an exact cause, if it can be figured out? And if it can't, then you're just stuck with that diagnosis. But like some people have some diabetes, and so there's different reasons for it. The other thing I'm going to mention again is that medication prucalopride, which is a pro-motility agent, comes from Canada, and this drug does help gastroparesis. It's not available in the United States. You have to get it through Canada. It's a little bit expensive, but I know it's helped Andrew, and we have proof of that because he underwent a study a couple of weeks ago where they put a tube into his stomach and they were measuring his pressures for about 6 or 8 hours, and we had taken the drug, prucalopride, and it definitely showed him to have what they call this clearing wave of the stomach. So that's another thing to mention to the doctors, because the doctors are not aware of that drug, and it might be helpful some patients. I keep pushing that. It's a miracle cure, but we used to have drugs similar to that here in the United States, but they're taking them off of the market because of cardiac effects from those drugs. But this drug is a safe drug to take, and so it might help. So you might mention it to your doctors and see if they think it's worth a try.
Oh, that's great. Now, how do you spell that?
I was just going to ask for those who don't know. If you
The generic name is prucalopride. It's spelled P-R-U-C-A-L-O-P-R-I-D-E. The brand name is Resolar, R-E-S-O-L-A-R. And you can find it on the internet, and you can order it through Canada Drug. And I do not own stock in this company. So, but I do promote the drug because I read some studies about it where it did help gastroparesis. It did affect the motility of dogs' stomachs. And so I say, well, this might help, you know, people suffering from gastroparesis. So I tried it on my son and definitely did help him. The drug is mainly approved for women with constipation. But another recent study came out, it showed that it is helpful for men. I mean, it works for men too, but it was designed for women with constipation. But it also works on the upper gastrointestinal tract, which is really what we're using the drug for. And if you take too much of the drug, it can give you diarrhea and some stomach cramping, but it does work on the upper intestinal tract, which is something to consider. It comes in 2 milligram strength.
You take it expensive?
Yes, it's about $4 or $5 per pill, but if it works, insurance won't cover it, of course, because it's not approved here in the United States. But it's definitely worth the shot. It's, some people, they take Reglan. It really, most of the time, doesn't work much. It may work in some patients, but it doesn't have the negative side effects that Reglan could have. So it's expensive, but if it helps you, it's worth it. So it's something to consider.
That's how I look at it. Do you take that yourself, or I know Andrew takes it,
Andrew,
but do you take
it? The other day I took one because I was really sick. And it did help me. I don't really take it. I don't have as much problems with gastroparesis as he does, but it's made a change in his life. I mean, at least we know he gets one episode where the stomach pushes some of the food through. And the other drug that does it, but it's more painful to take, is erythromycin. And that really usually works too, but it gives you a lot of cramping. That's a cheap version of an antibiotic that you could try, a small dose of erythromycin. That's another drug that might work. It does get kind of cramping though, but that's another one that they.
I want to talk about this. Theravance company has just posted their positive data from a phase 2 study. I'm not even going to begin to pronounce the name that they have it under, but it's called TD5108. And that's not only for gastroparesis patients who have it as a result of diabetes, but also idiopathic. So that's encouraging news. There is a lot of research being done on this now. and even just a few years back, there really wasn't. So this is all very encouraging news. Evoke Pharmacy is actually working on a, and they're, I forget what phase they're in with the trial, but they are doing a nasal version of that Reglan.
Okay. Mary Angela, so they're doing a nasal version of Reglan now?
It's still in clinical studies. And the theory behind that, as I talked to the company itself, they introduced themselves to us, and the theory behind that is with gastroparesis, when you're taking a lot of these medications, your gut is not working effectively. And so as a result of that, you're more prone to adverse effects that can happen. But with the nasal spray, it metabolize that way, and then you get far fewer side effects. So that's the theory behind it. They're doing studies on those with gastroparesis. I can't recall if they're doing it now on just general patients. They were doing a study with women, and then they added men to it. So that's something else that is on the horizon. I don't know. There are a lot of good things. So just because you have this, don't feel like this is going to be your life forever, because with all of this research going on, it's very hopeful and encouraging. And a lot of people find that when they have this gastroparesis, it can go through stages where it becomes exacerbated, and then suddenly it kind of plateaus. And you feel, geez, you know, I'm cured. This is great. And people can, that can happen within a day. It can happen weeks. It can happen months or years. And then all of a sudden, it can come back in some cases. So that in itself makes it more challenging psychologically as well as physically to endure. Anybody else want to jump in?
I do. This is Stephanie. This is my first time joining this group.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. I wanted to comment on your prucalopride because that is something that was recommended for me by somebody else with GC who took it and found a lot of relief with her symptoms because she was more constipation prone with the whole GI motility issue, which I think a lot of these people experience. But I recently found a study, and Mary, I'm not sure if this is the one you were talking about, but there's a study that it's for a medication. It's a research. It's supposed to come out, I think, within the next year that is very similar to prucalopride. It has the same functions with the serotonin producer. And
yes.
I just put it up. I'm not sure if it works on the screen for people who are on their computer, but share the article. It's called... Right now, it's a bunch of letters and numbers, but it starts with YKT.
Yes.
But I was very excited about that, and I sent the article to my GI doctor who manages my GP, and she sounded pretty positive about it, too. And in the meantime, I've been looking into ordering a prucalopride, you know, wondering if it's worth it because of the expense and getting it from Canada. I know it's... not being covered by insurance can be a little bit of a setback.
Once again, it's an investment in your health, and I know the financial
right, of course.
With any of us is a huge factor in it, but what you are taking right now is not providing relief, potentially. So as a result, if you're willing and able to explore these other options, at least to try it and see if it works, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You can get a small amount. You don't have to buy a lot. You know, you can buy maybe just, you know, one box or something, one week's worth maybe.
Yeah.
May I make a comment to Bethany or Stephanie?
Yes.
This is Anam, and I know... when I was first tried on Peridone, it was very expensive, and we didn't know if it was going to work. But a friend of mine got the domperidone. We tried it. It didn't work for me, but at least we got to see it. So I would, you know, that's a good idea with what that other gentleman said. Try it if you can, and if it doesn't work, if you're not buying a whole right. box worth.
You know, and I know we were talking about this, the challenges of dealing with gastroparesis, and I think one of my biggest challenges is I've tried so many things over the years that I occasionally get burnt out on trying something again. You know, putting the money and the effort into it. I've taken domperidone, which helped me for about 2 years tremendously, but then stopped. And I've taken pretty much every type of medication, traveled the country looking for different therapies and diets and so many things. And it just, I think I took a break recently of just trying things, you know, and just trying to live my life and take it day to day without investing so much energy into finding that relief, which has actually helped well, honestly, take my focus off.
That happens to many people. That and what I call in my own life being doctored out. To just sit there and idle until you feel, okay, it's time now. You just, with these types of diseases or disorders that you're enduring, it encompasses so much. And especially when something works for a little while and then it doesn't. Or you get your hopes up and you try something and then you get that disappointment. Whatever it may, or there may not be another option for you at that particular point. Whatever it is, you have to understand that emotional part, that coping button, it's an up and down swing. It's a roller coaster. So I always say, look, I'm doctored out. I'm at that point right now. I'm doctored out. I need space. I need to breathe. I need to hold.
Yeah.
And then even with trying different modalities, I need to hold. I've even tried, and they're doing a lot of research in this area, acupuncture. with that. There is a research being done with Dr. Richard McCallum in Texas, and he is doing a different type of an acupuncture to help this, and he is finding in his studies some real promising effects. So the fact that there's some good things out there gives you that hope, but it is very common with a lot of us to take that step back and go, I need a breather. It's like running the race, and you just need to pause and then continue on to that finish line of...
Yeah. Just reminded me of Saturday, Mary Angela, because I was doing my walk-a-thon in my wheelchair, and I told them, I said, stop, wait a second, let me take a breath, let me take some water.
Yeah, it is. We're all running a race. Laura, I want you to talk, use this opportunity right now, to talk a little bit about the neurogastrostimulator that you have.
Sure. Hi, Stephanie and everybody else. One thing that didn't work but does now, back in 2003, I live in Massachusetts, and I went to Kansas City, Kansas, where Dr. Richard McCallum, who she just spoke of, used to practice, and he helped Medtronic, the company that makes the neurostimulator, help them develop it for gastroparesis. And at the time, he, to me, was one of the only doctors in the entire country that knew what I was talking about. And I went out to Kansas, and I was in the FDA trial for the Entera therapy, it's really called, but it's the gastric neurostimulator. And what that is, it's a lot of people call it a pacer, and that is absolutely the wrong thing to call it because it doesn't pace anything. The original neurostimulator has leads that hook to the nausea nerve, whatever that is, that sends a signal to your brain to be nauseous, and it sends electrical impulses to stop that or to interfere with it. I had it in 2003, And in 2012, my battery was finally dying, and the only way to replace it is to put a whole new simulator in. They left the leads where they were, so that didn't have to be done to make it a very smaller surgery. And knock on wood, I had spent the last, up to 2012, literally in the hospital every month, if not more, since 2001. In December of 2012, I got the newer version, much upgraded, and knock on wood, I have not been in the hospital since then. I have been sick, you know, a bunch of times and gotten some severe nausea, but my daily life has changed so much better because I had nausea all the time. And now I don't have it all the time, you know, just when it exasperates. Sorry, I can't even say that today. It is a really promising thing, and now they have actually come up with a way. It's called the Intera 2, which I believe Temple might be the only place doing it at the moment. I don't know for sure. That it's very new, but instead of hooking to the nausea nerve, they hook leads to a smooth muscle in the bottom of your stomach that actually makes it contract. So the new one, brand new one, is kind of a pacer, because it does pace your stomach to make it contract and to do the majorly the cleaning out process that doesn't seem to happen for any of us. Yeah, with gastroparesis, the food kind of digests, but then we either throw it up or it sits there because our stomach doesn't go through the part of the process that moves everything and pushes like corn and things that don't digest completely through and into your intestine. The simulator is covered now by tons of insurance. I'm disabled and on Medicare, and they covered my second one without a blink. Because they know if you don't have it, they're going to pay for you to be in the hospital all the time. So I would recommend it for anybody to at least talk to a motility specialist about it. And if they don't know, get a hold of our organization. We know of people all over the country that do it. And it really is, for me, it has been life-changing. I'm also a type 1 diabetic, so it was said that it works better for diabetics, and it seems to. But I've read and talked to now a lot of idiopathic patients with gastroparesis that have it, and it's working with the nausea. And for me, without the nausea, I don't throw up as much. Unfortunately, now, if I do throw up, I really don't have much warning. But I would rather not have the nausea 24/7 and, you know, be able to just do what I want to do for life. And sometimes I throw up in the middle of it, but that's okay. It's better for me anyway. So does anybody have any questions about it particularly?
Has insurance approved it for people who don't have diabetes?
Yeah.
No, that was the one indication for it, which is basically for neuropathic gastroparesis.
Yeah, it used to.
Muscle problem. I don't know if they'll approve it for someone like with SIPO. I haven't seen any studies where it shows that it's beneficial for SIPO patients, but I'm really thinking about that more and more, actually, that it might be a benefit.
It really can be. I mean, this part. I have to say that the first one from 2003 to 2012, it did help with, and it's hard to explain, but with extreme, the worst nausea I had. It would help with that, but I was still nauseated and vomiting uncontrollably at least once a month in the hospital. And again, now that the second one has come out, that's the one that seems to be working on almost everybody that tries it. I see more positive than negative about it.
That's the one they attach to the muscle as well as to the vagus nerve?
No, actually, the one I'm talking about is just the one that it goes to the nausea nerve. It's not the vagus. It's I don't know the name of it, but it's something, some other nerve. And then there is, I don't know a lot about the Intera 2, which goes to the stomach, because it's very new, and there's not a lot of information out about it yet. I imagine it'll be coming out soon. They have trials. It's been working really well in the trials. So, again, I don't know when it's going to come out, but that, you know, publicly, but I do know that Temple is doing them.
All right. Thank you.
Go ahead. going to say, you might want to go on to the Medtronic site. They have an area for patients, but they also have an area for professionals, healthcare professionals. And if you click on their neuro, the enterotherapy, you might find some more information, but it might behoove you to give them a call to find out about some of these questions that you have. They should be more than willing to at least provide you with some, if not on a personal level, to give you some information that would give some clarity on that. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to interject. Who was just talking?
This is Deb. Laura, I just have a question. Can you tell me if they did two leads or three leads, or are they still using the two leads?
I still have the original two leads on mine.
Two leads, not three? Okay, thank you.
And I do not know about the one that hooks to the stomach. I mm-hmm. think it was two, but that's just a guess.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Laura, do you still take Rotilium?
Yep, every day. I've taken that since 2003, and it's been pretty much the only thing that helps my food digest. For
right.
anybody who doesn't know, Motilium is the new name for Domperidone. When we buy it now, it says that on the box from the Jensen.
That's what I wanted to ask. Yeah. Did you, I looked on that site where I buy the Motilium, and they said I could have a generic. And I called the doctor's office, and they said the generic may not be conducive to taking because it has fillers, so it won't be 100% what the, you know, is that true? She's
yes.
not, she has people, so
it's
not a
good
idea.
It's true with any generic, Loretta.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yep, but the one that you're getting, the Motilium in the box there, is the original from the manufacturer.
Right.
And again, for those who don't know, there is a little thing on there that under it that says it's Domperidone still. But there are a bunch of generics now. There's chewables. There's a lot of them that came out in the last year or so, actually, on that site. And it's amazing. And I don't know, I have not gotten any feedback from anyone on anything but the straight-up Domperidone Motilium.
Yeah. It's just cheaper as usual, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
now I have to freeze it. Does gastrofreeze, it gets worse with time, right? Like anything else?
In some folks.
In other words, in some it doesn't?
In some, you know, some people have it really bad when they start and it doesn't change. Other people have it and it does change. It's just like the symptoms and how we deal with it. Everybody is different, which is really hard to for anybody to get a grip on the whole disease, because when you talk to somebody,
right.
they might have what you have and they might not.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what causes it? Does anybody know? Like anything else, right?
In my case, it's neuropathy, nerve damage. The vagus nerve is damaged. Because
how did it get damaged?
From sugar. I'm a type 1 diabetic, so for me, any extra sugar goes right into my bloodstream.
Oh,
and, you know, if it's extra and I didn't take insulin, it just goes through my bloodstream and clogs everything up, just like a cholesterol with your heart kind of thing. Clogs it up with sugar.
This is Deb. And for me, because I have chronic intestinal obstruction, I have migraines, I have gastroparesis, and I was diagnosed in 1999, other diagnoses have been added on in the time period. In 2010, I was diagnosed with mitochondrial malabsorption, and I believe the mitochondrial aspect to this may be the root cause of idiopathic gastroparesis. They might feel like that might be the cause of everything, but I think for those of us who are in the idiopathic kind of gastroparesis, I think that it's more like, you know, they're on a hunt to find out the layers of all of this. That's my perception of it.
Absolutely, Deb. They really are trying to find out idiopathically, because it's easy for diabetics. They know how it works. It happens to a lot of our nerves. And unfortunately, I get the internal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for the idiopathic, they're really, as far as I know, and I believe Mary Angela will agree that there is no specific cause that they've narrowed it down to. I do find that mitochondria a little interesting, though, because I do talk to a lot of people, and there are a lot of idiopathic gastroparesis patients that have that also. Mm-hmm. So they may be on, your doctors may be onto something.
There is a, this is Stephanie. I'm actually reading a book called Living Well with Mitochondria, and it's incredibly fascinating. I'm going to the UNDF DC for mitochondrial disease in June as a person educating others about some things, not as a patient. I haven't been diagnosed with it yet. But I would say that if you want to learn more about it, I think it is pretty fascinating and how it could play a role in all the different kinds of symptoms and multiple diagnoses that we experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I found it personally really interesting and how that works. And the UMDF is a really great resource for learning more about it.
This is Deb again. It is. And I think it also, I mean, there are times I can relate so much to what Mary Angela was saying, but it's like you need time out from everything, from doctors, from the disease, from the malabsorption, from your brain. You just need to rest. And there are times when you feel like you can dig in and learn. And for me, since going through this for so many years, I backpedaled and I dig in. And I never give up. I'm not going to give up, but I need a rest sometimes. And I just...
I'm totally there with you.
I understand. Deb, I understand. I have had idiopathic parese since 2002 because of the cerebral palsy and other issues, and sometimes I get tired of the doctor myself.
Mm-hmm.
So many times people feel like they're the only ones, or they feel so alone, and certainly by the scope of this program, so many of you, I'm sure, are realizing, whoa, other people are feeling that same way. And that's part of the process. I want to allude back to that mitochondrial disease and the, I always direct people to the United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation. I just want to read some of the symptoms that relate to muscles and nerves and GI. So as I'm reading some of these, I'm sure are going to find that some people are going to find that, whoa, this is me. For example, weakness, cramp, and they can overlap a lot of things, but some of the symptoms can include the muscles that are affected, weakness, cramping, GI problems, dysmotility, irritable bowel, hypotonia, muscle pain, reflux, diarrhea, constipation, pseudotropia. So many people are falling into that with some of these motility diseases. It can affect if it's nerves, if it's weakness, absent reflexes, fainting, neuropathic pain, dysautonomia, the temperature instability, which I have, and that falls into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Migraines, and it's not like if you have this, you're going to get every single symptom. It's like gastroparesis. Some people get nausea, some people get vomiting, some people get both. It depends. So I would encourage you, if you don't know the cause, just take a peek at that. It's not determining that that's what you have, but it sheds some light and give you another avenue to explore. We've had a symposium. We have our Digestive Motility Symposia. We've always included, until he is now not seeing patients, but Dr. Mark Corson, who in this area, in the Boston area, Massachusetts, is one of the authorities on mitochondrial. Very interesting time he would give a presentation, and he's done this 4 years for us. It is always so enlightening about what he brings to the table and how the GI issues are all entangled in that. So, interesting food for thought. And
speaking of the symposium, Mary Angela just was wondering, any news?
Wondering, wondering. It's not done yet. So keep wondering. Hopefully with the new website, we'll be having more information on all of that. But we're working on other projects, so we're all, it's exciting times.
And
exciting times that they're doing research on this now, not so much on pseudo obstruction, but we're working with that as well. So this is like when I was first going through this, and I know you're all calculating my age, but I am so proud of my age because I was not supposed to, according to the medical world, live past the age of 26. And now, with the grace of God, I have lived way surpassed that. But when this all began, nobody knew about it. I was one in five of this part of the United States diagnosed with food obstruction, and I opted not to have surgery, which was what they were suggesting, and as a result of that, I had asked some questions. Would this progress to other parts? Would it cure me? What is causing this? And these questions were begging for answers, and they didn't have them. So I opted not to have that. It did progress to include my entire digestive tract, as well as all the systems within my body. But many people who have had surgery for a pseudo obstruction end up having multiple surgeries, a lot of adhesions, and at this point in my life, I've been very blessed not to go that route. So there are more answers that are coming out now for gastroparesis. So having a diagnosis of this is far more encouraging as far as the future with it compared to in the 1980s. And that's a good thing, although I always say to people, never give up that hope, because just like me, who was supposed to be checking out at the age of 26, for no other explanation, I can still hear. So I am a believer of miracles. And it doesn't mean that it hasn't been challenging. It just means that I've come to an agreement with my illness, that acceptance of this is what I have. I am not going to be a victim. I say this all the time to people. I am going to be a victor and learn how to integrate it within my life with each new battle that I face, each new disease or each new symptom that comes in. You pause, you have that fear, you have all of those things that you initially have, but then it's not going to get me. It's not going to get me down because I have too much to live for, and that's all of you. So anybody else, we only have a few more minutes. Anybody else have any questions or want to make any comments?
This is Deb again. I wanted to share something real quick.
Last time I was
on here, I was asking or saying something about the gastric emptying breath test that's recently got that FDA approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to update that the president of the company had gotten back with me and shared that they're in the process of getting their coding for insurance and everything, but once they do, he said it was going to be as simple as, you know, like now you just go to one of the little labs and get the blood test done, but that's how available this breath test is going to be. So I just wanted to update, share that little piece with everyone.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. But right now, I have to tell you, not all centers use and in way the 4-hour gastric emptying test, which is one of the ways they tell you if you have gastroparesis.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the results of that can vary from day to day, just like your disease.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that now there is this breath test, huge. It's going to be huge for so many patients.
It will.
I'm just going to add to that that they have Digestive Disease Week. They have that. They've had that for years, and that's taking place now. I think today is the last day. And Dr. Mark Pimentel, who also has been part of our organization, has spoken during our symposiums. He and his research team have found a new blood test which can help identify irritable bowel. So finally now there's a way to say, yes, you definitively have irritable bowel, as opposed to that being a catch-all for what this may not know. Good stuff coming out, I'll tell you. Very, very exciting times, although for those who are suffering, it's not coming fast enough. Anybody else want to interject, have a comment? Have a question?
Mary, can you spell, I don't know his name, I'm sorry. The two drugs that he used, Rezola, I didn't get all the spelling.
Oh, Rezola and Prucalopride.
Could you spell the, okay.
Rezola is R-E-S-O-L-A-R.
Okay.
It's the same drug, it's just that one is a generic name and one is the brand name. Brand name is
Rezola.
And the generic is called Prucalopride, Prucalopride. And you can see it on the internet. You just type that in and it'll come out a whole bunch of stuff on it.
Good. Thank you very much.
The company that makes it is Shire, S-H-I-R-E, Shire Pharmaceuticals. They're actually located there in Massachusetts, but it actually comes from England.
Oh, interesting. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much. You've been very informative. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
I just want to say thank you, Mary Angela, for all your hard work and all the people that work with you. We really appreciate it, and I know it's been so helpful for my son, Andrew, and it gives a lot of us hope, and you're doing a wonderful job, and we thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I second that.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Mary,
and really, I say this every single time. You people are the engine behind this organization. It is your organization. It is not our organization, per se, the people who are volunteering in this. It is your organization. And you people are the inspiration that generates this organization. So I want to thank all of you. My heart cries for the difficult journeys that you are going through. I'm humbled by your story, and I'm also humbled to be in this means of being able to provide these forums and the work that we do. It is just such a privilege, and my life has been greatly enriched by all of you. I can't say enough. You are my heroes, each and every one of you. And when I finish these programs, it doesn't end there. I always reflect on every single one and every single person who is participating or is in the shadows just listening, and all those who didn't get a chance to be on this program. I truly reflect on all of it. I say a prayer for all of you. I think about you. I think about ways in which we can make life better for you. And then we will let us sleep and get to work on doing it. So I am so grateful for all of you, for those who shared a piece of your lives with us. I'm grateful for those who are quiet. My prayer is that you got some benefit out of this program. For anybody who signed up, I'm just going to make a side note here. For anybody who signed up for the Inspiring Caregiver Patient Program, that has been postponed because of a scheduling conflict with our guest. But we are having a parent, AGMD parent telephone internet. It's our new program, and that's taking place on Friday. Anybody who has a child of any age who has any type of digestive motility disorder, we encourage you to join our program. It's taking place on Friday the 22nd, 11 a.m., finishes at 12 p.m., and that's our Massachusetts time. And then we have our chronic intestinal pseudo-obstruction program happening in May. That's our last program in May. And that is happening on May 28th, and that's 12 to 1 p.m., Massachusetts time, and then, of course, we will be having our June programs. In closing, I thank you so much again. I appreciate all of you. You remain in my prayers. you remain in my heart. God bless you all. Take care. Bye-bye.